Please take your Bibles now and turn with me if you'd like to follow along to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And my plan is to begin, Lord willing, in February to begin a series on the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. But tonight I wanted to do something of an introductory sermon. I couldn't think of something better to call it, but I haven't been installed as an associate pastor yet, but I wanted to go to a passage that would help express something of what I see as my mission and my message, and really the mission and message of the church and of the gospel ministry. And so that's why we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 tonight. This is really the job description of any gospel minister, to preach Christ and Him crucified. So we're going to look at that together tonight. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to use that. But let's give our attention now to the Word of God. I'll read 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. Please hear God's Word. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's stop and ask for God's blessing. Our Father in heaven, we, as we've just sung, we do want to gaze upon your beauty. We want to be in your presence, and we want to hear from you. Lord, we don't want the wisdom of men and the strength of men. We want the power of God. We want to know Christ and Him crucified, and so I pray that you would make Him known now through your word and enable us to hear and understand and lay this up in our hearts and live it out in our lives to your glory. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This past week, millions of Americans witnessed a lofty speech from one of the most powerful men in the world, the 46th President of the United States. He stood up and gave his inaugural address, and if you happen to listen, and if you listen closely, the message was something of a gospel. It was a gospel of sorts. But it was the gospel of me and we. Put your faith in me and in man. In man's wisdom and his collective power in a united democracy. The message was really that the right political power, the right person, the right policy, and the power of we, the people, will bring salvation, will fix all of our problems. But that message, however lofty and plausible and wise according to man, was really a false gospel, a false hope. It was a humanistic and atheistic message. And that's because man is not and is never the solution and is not the Savior. Man is actually the problem, man's sin. And I reference that speech not to stir political angst or debate or really to even critique it, but rather because it illustrates a common tendency in man, and that is to preach and to put our faith in and to rally around men, to come up with man-centered solutions and gospels, to put our faith in man's wisdom and man's power. And friends, the church is not immune to this tendency. Corinth, thousands of years ago, was not immune to it, and neither are we. People are fundamentally religious. They will believe in, they will love and worship and live for something and someone. But the question is, who? Or what? And is it the right thing? Will they believe in man and his strength and wisdom, or in God, their creator, the only redeemer, and in his crucified Savior, Jesus Christ? The speech that some of you may have heard this last week is really something you hear in different ways, in different places, again and again. And it's actually really the opposite of the message of the Apostle Paul, and the opposite message that we see in God's Word. You see, Paul didn't show up at Corinth and say, "I'm here now. Now you can have hope. Now your problems can be fixed. Together we are going to achieve greatness and glory." That is not what he did. He didn't come with a sophisticated, clever message that impressed and created a following. He came in human weakness. He pointed away from himself and away from man, and he pointed to God. And he pointed to the cross. He urged sinners to trust not in him and not in themselves, not in man, but in God and in the power of God, in Jesus Christ and him crucified. He called not for man's strength and collective power, but for man's repentance. And his message, brothers and sisters, Paul's message is the same message the church is called to proclaim and believe today. It is what you are called to believe tonight. That is what this pulpit must proclaim. In our sin and in our pride, we want to trust in man. We so often look to human strength and wisdom, but what we need is the power of God. What we need is Christ and him crucified. Human strength and wisdom does not save, cannot change lives, cannot build the church. And so what I want to ask tonight, what I want you to be thinking about is, what does? Where must the church put its faith? And what is its message? Where is your faith? What must you hear and believe? What am I called to preach? Well, God's answer again and again, and what is really loud and clear here in 1 Corinthians 2, is Christ and him crucified. That is God's answer. That is where there is power and hope. That is the gospel. That is what you are called to believe and proclaim as the church, Jesus Christ and him crucified. The heart of what the church, what you and I are called to believe and proclaim, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what I want you to see with me tonight in 1 Corinthians 2. Your faith needs to be in the crucified Christ. That is the message you need, and that is the message I am called to preach. Your faith must be in the power of God, not in the power of man. Well, let's look more closely at our text together tonight, and I want us to consider three points: what not to expect, what to expect, and then where our faith needs to be. So first of all, what not to expect. What should we not expect from a faithful gospel ministry? Look at verse 1 with me, and then also verse 3 and 4 again. Paul writes, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." And now skip down to verse 3. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So Paul is recounting his ministry in Corinth as he writes here, and he says first really what it was not. And this should be true of gospel ministry, of the ministry of the church today as well. This is what you should not expect and not look for. He says, I did not come with lofty speech and plausible words of wisdom, with boldness and self-confidence and human strength. And so what the church should not expect, what you should not want and look for in faithful gospel ministry is human strength and wisdom. Human strength and wisdom is what not to expect and what not to look for. Paul says, I did not come with a lofty, impressive speech or wisdom. I didn't come with superior logic and reason. I didn't come as a powerful master of communication and rhetoric, full of confidence. I didn't come and I wasn't outwardly impressive. Now, Paul is not saying he was slow or he was a fool. He was intellectually weak or unwise, or he was a timid coward. But what Paul is saying is that his message did not meet the world's standard of wisdom and sophistication and plausibility. It wasn't a convincing message and convincing delivery by human standards. He didn't have a big ego and tons of confidence in himself and his abilities and strength. And just wait till I get there. As soon as they hear me, they're going to be convinced. He was not trusting in human strength and wisdom. And what he's saying here is both the message and the messenger were weak according to the world. But Paul was not afraid to admit that, to be honest and say, look, with me, that's what you got. With me, you're not going to get, nor should you expect, human strength and wisdom in a way that's impressive to the world. That may be what people are looking for, and I think it often is, but it is not me. It is not the way the gospel works, and it is not the way that the true church grows. In fact, human power and strength and wisdom achieve very little of lasting value, and most certainly cannot meet the greatest need of salvation. They cannot create a living faith. They cannot regenerate dead hearts. And so this was not what Corinth needed. It wasn't what they were to expect out of Paul and out of gospel ministry. And it's not what we and what you as the church are to look for as well. Yes, God works through human means and messengers, but not through human strength and human wisdom, the world's wisdom and clever speech. Now, again, to be sure, Paul was really an intellectual giant. He was eminently wise and he was a fearless preacher. But his wisdom was the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God's word. And his courage came from God's strength and God's spirit and a willingness to suffer for Jesus Christ. We heard about that this morning in Acts 21. And so, friends, as believers, we should not expect and not look for human strength and wisdom from our pastors and elders and from each other, from me, from Pastor Friedley. Sometimes we put these expectations on ourselves, but it's not where God would have us look and put our faith. And so, brothers and sisters, first of all, do not expect and do not look for human strength and wisdom. That leads us then to a second point, and that is then, what should we expect? What should we look for in true gospel ministry and gospel message? What to expect? Let's consider that second tonight from 1 Corinthians 2. And there really are two parts to this, what we should expect. We should expect human weakness, and we should expect the message of Christ and Him crucified. human weakness and really the power of God, which is that gospel message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And this is because God saves and builds not by human strength and wisdom, but by the power of the cross of Christ and by His Holy Spirit working through His testimony and through even human weakness. Now look again with me at verses 3 and 4. He writes, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Paul says, what you got with me was human weakness. What you got with me was a real man, not a Superman, not a giant of Greek philosophy and rhetoric. And there's a threefold progression of just how weak he was to highlight his how limited and powerless he was in verse 3. He said, weakness, fear, and much trembling. Paul is saying, in myself, I was weak. I was one man, limited in my knowledge and in my strength. In himself, he wasn't confident. He was even afraid because his message was foolishness to the world. It was a stumbling block to the Jews who considered Jesus blasphemous and cursed by God. It was folly to the Greeks because it didn't live up to the lofty logic and reason of their best thinkers and philosophers. And Paul is saying, neither me or my message was impressive and powerful and convincing to the world. In fact, I was weak and afraid and even trembling. It wasn't an easy, and it never is an easy message to deliver. It's not easy to speak of hell and repentance and the foolishness and helplessness of man apart from Christ. Preach that to those who don't believe, and you will have fear and trembling. You will feel and know just how weak you are on your own. The church should not expect and look for human strength and wisdom. The servants of the church, those who proclaim the testimony of God, do not proclaim themselves. They do not come as wise and powerful and confident in the view of the world. They don't come as intellectual or financial or physical elites. So the church should expect human weakness and human limitation out of her ministers and her members, because we know we are mere men. We are sinners. We are not saved by our wisdom and our strength. We are not empowered and motivated and led by these things. We boast in Christ alone. The church should expect human weakness and limitation. But she should and she must also expect and look for the power of God and the testimony of God. Verse 1, Paul says he brought the testimony of God, the gospel, the message that Paul delivered in weakness and fear is captured in verse 2. And I want you to look at verse 2 with me again. This is what you should expect. "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the heart of the message you are called to believe. And you need to hear. This is what the church must proclaim. This is what I am called to proclaim. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Paul said, "I decided to know nothing among them but this." He resolved, he determined that this was the singular great need of the people of Corinth and really everywhere he preached. The heart of the testimony of God, he was called to make known. This is what they could expect from him. This is what we should expect. Paul didn't want rhetoric or philosophy or science or social justice or politics or self-help or anything else to be known among them. He wanted Jesus Christ and him crucified to be known. And we're going to consider in a few moments why that is. But first, ask yourself, is this what I expect? Is this what I look for? Is this what I hunger for and pray for? Do I know that this is what I need and that the world needs? Is this what the church must believe and proclaim? This unchanged message and mission, is this the mission and the message of the church? Not human wisdom and strength, but Christ and him crucified. Now, this doesn't mean that Paul only preached Christ's death, his crucifixion. That the death of Christ really only makes sense in a larger context, in the larger story of human sin and God sending Jesus Christ in the flesh and really all of redemptive history. But Christ and him crucified was a summary that captured and encapsulated the whole gospel message that he preached. It would have included Jesus' perfect life, his resurrection, his rule as the anointed king who calls men to repent and believe and obey and serve him. The whole counsel of God, the whole message of the gospel, the good news for dying sinners is captured in these short, simple words. And they're good words to memorize, especially you young people. Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the wisdom and power of God that saves and that transforms, that sanctifies sinners. This is what builds the church. This is what gives life and hope. This is what you need. This is what you ought to expect. Jesus Christ and him crucified is the only hope for men and for the church. This is the heart of the church, the heart of the gospel, its core message and faith. This is what you should expect to hear from me and from Pastor Friedley, from any faithful church or her minister, her elders, from each other. Not human strength and wisdom, not man's ideas and theories, but human weakness and the power of God to save through Christ and him crucified. This is the ministry and the message you must look for and listen for. This is what you must expect. This is what you should support and pray for and seek to raise up. Expect human weakness in the power of God, in Christ and him crucified. That is what you should expect. And that leads us then third and finally to consider where to put your faith. Where to put your faith. Look with me again at verses 2 through 5. Verse 2 through 5. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where do you need to put your faith? I think it's obvious here. But your faith must not rest in man's wisdom and strength, in yours or mine or anyone else's. It must be in the power of God, in the gospel, in God the Holy Spirit demonstrating that power through a crucified Christ. Your faith must not be in what the world thinks is wise and strong and impressive, but actually in what it thinks is repulsive and weak and foolish and powerless. You see, Paul knew that he was a weak man. He was a sinner. He was limited. His life on earth was short. He could only be in one place at one time. He had to sleep at night. He had to eat and drink. He did not know everything. He had no power in himself to forgive sins or grant eternal life, to open blind eyes and soften hard hearts. He did not want men being impressed by him, following him. He did not want men putting their faith in him because he could do nothing for them. All he could do and all he wanted to do was give them Christ. Men, women, and children, he wanted them to put their faith in God, in his power, in his Savior, the only one who could save them and give them life and forgive their sins, give them eternal life. They had to, and you have to, I have to put our faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified, because he is the power of God to save. Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is where your faith has to be. And those short words really capture the gospel, and they hold up for us the person and work of Jesus Christ, his person, who he is, and his work, what he did. He was the one who came to be crucified, to die for sinners. The person and work of Jesus is the heart of the gospel. And let's think about that a little bit together, that phrase. Let's break that down. Jesus. Jesus is the eternal Son of God who was begotten by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He became man. He joined two natures, the human and the divine, in one person, Jesus, to save his people from their sins. And he was Jesus. He is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the prophet, priest, and king who was promised to come and crush Satan and build his kingdom of light and life to save sinners. He is the one mediator between God and man. And Jesus Christ, the God-man, became the sin-bearer and was crucified. The Corinthians did not need Jesus Christ and him, the political leader. Jesus Christ and him, the military general. Jesus Christ and him, the miraculous healer, the teacher, the moral example, the peacemaker, the social justice advocate, the psychologist. Now, of course, they needed Jesus Christ and his teaching and his example, and they needed to see and believe his miraculous signs, his entire ministry, his compassion for the poor and the needy. But more than anything else, they needed him crucified. They needed his sacrificial, substitutionary, atoning death on the cross. They needed him crucified. They needed him cut off for their sins, as we were reminded of this morning. Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I think that word crucified does not stand out and jump out to us as it should. Paul preached Christ and him crucified. Crucified. Christ and him nailed to a cross until he died. Christ and him tortured to death by Roman soldiers, executed as a criminal. Christ and him mocked and beaten and stripped and shamed and cursed by being hung on a tree. Jesus Christ and him forsaken by God, taking the most excruciating physical pain, but worse than that, the infinite wrath of God for the sins of his people. Jesus Christ in him bleeding and weakening and thirsting and gasping for breath and crying out to God and breathing his last on the cross. Jesus Christ dead and buried for 3 days. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ, who then defeated sin and death and Satan by rising again on the third day, on the morning of that first day of the week, and Jesus Christ and Him ascending to heaven to the right hand of God, and Jesus Christ coming again in judgment and glory and victory. Dear friends, your faith must be in this person and in His work, and Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because by faith in Him and what He has done, through His death for you, bearing your sins and your punishment, your sins are forgiven. You are given His righteousness. You are pardoned. You are crucified with Him, set free from the power of sin. You have eternal life. You are freed from death, freed from the grave, freed from hell. And we are reminded this morning of the reality and the sheer terror and yet justice of hell. God, because Christ was crucified and by faith in Him, God will resurrect one day your dead bodies. Brothers and sisters and children and all of you listening tonight, Jesus Christ was crucified. That is a fact. That is history. He was crucified for sinners. He was crucified for you if you trust in Him, and that is good news. That simple and yet awesome message is the way God, by His power, and in a way the world will mock and will think is ridiculous and foolish, that is the way He meets your greatest need. That is the way He saves you from hell and gives you eternal life and builds His church. Christ and Him crucified is the answer to the problems of this world, to man's sin and rebellion, to your sin, to death. There is no other message, no other power or wisdom or lofty speech that can do this. And this is why this must be what you expect and you desire and you long to hear and see and believe and proclaim and live out. This is what you must look for in a church and in faithful ministry. This is what I am called to preach and teach, and the church must believe and proclaim throughout every generation until Christ returns. Don't put your faith in man and in His silly solutions, in His wisdom and reason and strength, in what He finds compelling and convincing. That always changes, it never lasts, and it never works. Christ and Him crucified, that saves, that heals, that gives comfort, that gives life. And so look to Christ. Believe in Him. The church is led by, created by, given life by, empowered by, not man, but by the Spirit and power of God through Christ and Him crucified. And so that is where your faith and your hope and your joy and your power must be and come from. And that leads me then, as we close tonight, very quickly, to ask a question to all of you tonight. I want to ask a question of all of you, whether you're old or young, whether you are new to this church or not. And that is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Who or what are you trusting in? In man? In the power and strength of man? In his ideas and his philosophy? Or is your faith in the power of God, in a crucified Christ? Where is your hope and your joy and your strength? Brothers and sisters, believe the gospel. Believe this message. Look for, expect the testimony of God, the power of God, the demonstration of His Spirit in the gospel, in Christ and Him crucified. He is life and salvation. He is why we are here. He is why I am here. He is who I am here to proclaim in my weakness and limits, like Paul. Christ and Him crucified. That's all the church has to offer to the world. That is all we can preach. That is all I can preach. That is all Joseph or the elders or any faithful church can offer to the world. Christ and Him crucified. But He is everything. He is everything. Trust, worship, serve, and proclaim Christ and Him crucified. Don't look for a different message or a different Savior. Don't look to the power of man. Trust in the unlimited power of our triune God. Put your trust in, boast in, and live by Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise You and thank You for Your power, which is weakness and foolishness to this world, and yet is life and is our only hope. We thank You for Christ and Him crucified. We thank You for the demonstration of Your Spirit by the way in which You bring men and women and children to life by that simple message, by what He did those many years ago. Lord, let us believe and proclaim Him and Him alone. Lord, press this into our hearts, and I pray that each and everyone here tonight that is hearing would not be trusting in man, but would trust in the God-man and in Your power and in Christ and Him crucified. And we pray that many and many more would put their faith in Him as well and have life. We pray this all in Jesus' name, in the name of Christ and Him crucified. Amen.